Hi, this is Dr. Diane Hayden, and I am the owner and publisher of Natural Nutmeg Magazine, Essential Living Maine Magazine, and a series of book collaborations. The most recent one that we are expecting to come out later this summer or early fall, which is called Power of Coaching. And we're really excited about this book because it is a group of life coaches from all different walks who basically have taken a chapter to write about their expertise and their specialty in terms of coaching, how they coach, and why people would benefit from or want to hire a coach. We have coaches that discuss everything from leadership coaching to personal development to mindset to financial coaching to relationships. So it really, this book will really give people a wide array of experiences on all the different areas that there are within coaching. And I am excited to be interviewing today Mamak Sharapu. She is the author of the chapter, The Money Mindset, Creating a Money Mindset That Inspires Action and Change. Mamak believes that everyone has the right to feel safe to flourish. Her own journey in shifting money beliefs that were sabotaging her success and prosperity has inspired her to work with organizations, groups, and individuals in promoting and presenting the value of their products and services, having money conversations with ease, and creating service structures that are aligned with their values and goals. She has a Master of Fine Arts from Arizona State University and a Master of Music from Carnegie Mellon. She's been a collaborator, teacher, trainer, and speaker in her music, children's class coordinator, and coaching careers. She's been interviewed on Powerful Women Revealed Radio and PAC TV and has been highlighted by popular HBR blogger Whitney Johnson's Dare to Dream blog. She is a Nurtured Heart Approach Advanced Trainer and Sacred Money Archetype Certified Coach, and she is a member of IAWC and Pod Leader for Believe, Inspire, and Grow. So welcome, Mamak. How are you?
Good, thank you. I'm very excited to be here with you, Diane.
Great. So we're going to be talking about a lot of people's favorite topic, money.
Yes.
Yep. I think your chapter was phenomenal, and I think it really puts things into perspective for people, and it's a much-needed resource for, I think, a lot of people. I know that just in doing what I've done with the magazine for so many years, I have run across so many holistic entrepreneurs that struggle with this topic and just being able to figure out a way to, you know, make enough money to support what they're doing in the world and their lifestyle and all of that. So I think we're going to have a lot of interesting information to talk about today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that feedback. And yes, that's been my experience too, I think, with service providers, musicians, artists, anything that we're putting our whole self into the process. It's really hard for us to put a monetary value to it and to be able to articulate that.
Definitely. So I always like to start these interviews by finding out a little bit about how you decided to become a coach. You know, what was the journey to that? Were there any life events that prompted it? And basically, how did you decide it was what you wanted to do?
You know, that's a great question. And I sometimes think, oh, I decided I'm going to be a coach just a couple years ago. But that's really not true. It was really an organic process. From my music career, I went into my music career as a solo performer, which I absolutely hated.
I thought you were going to say love.
Wow. And then from that, I started collaborating with musicians, and I absolutely loved that. I loved being on stage with other musicians, but I really loved the back work that we did together, which was they would hire me as their pianist, and they would put this music in front of me, and it was my job to listen to them to see how they wanted to interpret the music. You know, they were hiring me. And for me to bring out the best in their capacity to interpret that music. And I loved that process. And that's really the process that I went through in becoming a collaborative coach, I realized later was exactly the same as becoming basically a life coach. You need to listen to them. You need to see how they want to interpret their life and then to help them bring out their best in that interpretation. So really, I've been coaching. It's been with a different language. It's been with music, but it's the same process. since 94, I've been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people say, a lot of the other coaches have said, you know, either I didn't find coaching found me, or it was something that they had been doing, maybe not really realizing it, but something they've been doing in another role that they had, that they finally realized, oh, you know, it's a part of what I'm doing, or it's something that I inherently do for people, and so now I'm going to, you know, pursue this as a full-time career.
Yes, yeah. I don't think you can really separate who you are from being a coach, because that's just the way you're showing up in life in whatever you're doing.
Right. Yeah. That's so true. So
mm-hmm.
true.
Yes.
So there are a lot of coaching institutions out there, so I'm sure that a lot of people that are listening to this call are interested or curious about how you decided which program to go through, and I always like to make the distinction that for someone who I think is going to take this on as a full-time career, they really need to look at some of the more, some of the accredited programs versus programs that are, more, I guess, shorter or weekend-type things that, we see coming out all the time. But how did you decide which programs you wanted to be involved with?
Yeah, I fell into it, but it wasn't that, I was dragged into it. I was in a business with a friend of mine. We had a parent coaching program. We both had went and got our certification in the Nurtured Heart Approach, and we got to a point in that business where we really didn't feel we knew how to even run a coaching business. So we entered into a year-long program of how to run a coaching business. And then from that, a certification program, a five-month-long intensive certification program, was presented to us. And I just approached that as a business move of, like, this would be great for me to learn this, learn all these exercises, and then I could go and teach it to others. So basically, I was pulled along into that. But then it turned out to be a great healing experience for myself. I realized that I needed to first go through that coaching program for myself in order to heal a lot of money, beliefs, and issues that I had that I realized were keeping me back. And then I was able to turn around and see the power of that, and then turn around and help others with that. So I really was pulled into it. There was no conscious decision of let me investigate. My partner did an investigation, and I just said, let's go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's interesting that you said about the healing process, because I think that's the same experience that I had when I went through, a coaching certification. It was way more personally intensive than I ever expected it would be. And I think it's something that everybody should do, regardless of whether they have any intention of being a coach. I mean, there was just so many things that I learned and I think grew from a personal development level from doing that.
Yes, yes. You know, we don't walk around thinking we need to heal. And
right.
We all do, because we're bombarded. Like, the world is not a perfect place. The world is not a place where it's constantly nurturing us and trying to bring out the best in us. We're going towards, we're striving to create that kind of world, but it is not that. So we unconsciously absorb things that are bad for us, no matter how well-intentioned the people and we are around us to create a loving, nurturing environment. We're all learning how to be that. So we absorb these things that are not good for us, but we don't walk around thinking, I need to heal. And we all do. We all really need, there are things in us that we're holding on to that we need healing. And when we can heal from those, we're just so much better in our jobs, in our relationships, in everything, because of that channel's been opened. So I totally agree with you. Whether you go into the field or not, everyone should explore that, because it's really getting to know yourself better.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, it was totally an amazing experience. I would do it again, without a doubt, for sure.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about your unique practice. And I'm always curious to know if people have any tips or, suggestions or things for others that are just starting out in the coaching industry about how to really make their practice successful. Because I see a lot of times, someone who's new to the coaching practice will kind of flounder for a while. And I think part of that is due to the fact that people don't understand that you really, with any kind of practice, I guess, if you're a solo practitioner, you really are starting a business. You're really becoming an entrepreneur. And I don't think that many people have the skill set for that or quite understand what it takes to build your own business. So anytime that people are really successful in their coaching practice, I'm always curious to know, what were some things that you did? How did you, pick your niche, and what do you think it was that has made you, so successful?
That's a really good question, and that was actually the question a year and a half ago I was struggling with, because there's something to be said that I know how to coach, I love coaching, and I love my work, but then the other aspect of it is to look at it as a business. And that, I think, is the key, is to really take a look at that as a business and to always see it greater than yourself. Even if your coaching practice is going to be only one person for the rest of your life, but to really see it as a company. And what has been helping me is to constantly see myself as I'm a company, I'm an organization. It's something bigger than just I'm a coach in this business, that I'm the only one right now doing it. And that has helped my mind to see what I'm doing in a bigger light. And also, to know that you need to approach it as a business structure, and there are going to be aspects of it that you're not going to want to do, and that's okay, but you have to set up those business structures. So right away, I knew for me to take it really seriously and to say that I'm running a business, I became an LLC right away. I just knew that I needed to put that investment in there and to see myself as that kind of entity. And that worked for me instead of being a sole proprietor. I needed to make that investment. So I quickly became an LLC because I really wanted that vision of working with organizations. I knew I wasn't going to work with organizations in the next month, but if I didn't start setting it up as I would be doing it, I didn't feel I was setting it up in the most powerful way that I could. So I set it up as an LLC knowing that I will one day be working with organizations. I really don't know how I'm going to do it yet, but I'm going to be doing it. And I listened to a lot of, I went through the year-long business program of how to find your niche, your brand, put programs, that whole jizz-biz. And I listened to a lot of other tapes and took out business books. I was reading business books, and I'm still reading business books. So I think for me what helped was diving in and recognizing that I was not only a coach, but I was a businesswoman. And that really shifted it for me, because when I was a musician, I only saw myself as a musician. When I was a parent coach, I only saw myself as a parent coach. I did not see myself as a business owner. And that was a big shift for me, because it helped me make different decisions.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think that's what a lot of people miss, especially holistic practitioners, that at the end of the day, it is a business that you're running, and you have to treat it that way, or it's never going to be more than a hobby.
Right.
So there are, like you said, I think that's great advice, taking any kind of business courses. There's also tons of free things. I know here in Hartford we have an entrepreneurial center through,
yes,
I believe it's through the University of Hartford. But you can take all kinds of free classes on everything from marketing to social media, enterprise to bookkeeping to, you know, administrative stuff, you know, you name it. And I do, you know, I did the same thing. I mean, when we started the magazine, we started it as an LLC. And I think that has made a huge difference as far as treating it like, you know, a real business. Versus this little, you know, some practice that I do out of my home. So I think that is important. How did you decide to why did you decide to go from the parenting coaching to the financial coaching?
Yes, good question. I think for me, you know, I did the parenting coaching because it was the same reason as the money coaching. Basically, I went into the parenting coaching because that nurtured heart approach transformed and saved me and my family's life, and I wanted to share it with the world. And then when I got into the money coaching, that really transformed, and I thought, you know, this is really where my heart is, because even with the parenting coaching, I started working, me and my partner actually started working with women. Women were really attracted to our work, and we started really moving away from just teaching you how to parent, but really how to nurture yourself first before you can nurture the world. And this was a really natural extension of you need to nurture your relationship with money in order to be able to turn around and have a lucrative business, or to even have conversations with your spouse or financial advisors or anyone in your life and feel powerful in those conversations. So it was just a really natural journey because of my journey. So it's really, I'm following my journey with my businesses.
Right. I think that happens to a lot of us, definitely. Yeah. I mean, something happens, a life event or whatnot, or sometimes I think it's the kind of people that are drawn to you, you know, determine what your niche is. And do you find that, you know, one of the questions that I love to ask somebody who has a very specific niche like this, to kind of debunk the myth that, you know, people who are afraid of getting into a niche are that way because they think, you know, I'm going to be confined to just this. Do you find that even though people come to you for financial, you know, or money mindset coaching, that you end up coaching them on for other areas of their life?
Absolutely. And that happens, I believe it happens in every kind of coaching you do, because our lives are so integrated. You cannot compartmentalize your life. No matter how much you think you can, you are who you are in every aspect. So if there are issues that are coming up in your business around boundaries, you're over-delivering with your client, you tell them you'll do an hour, but you go to an hour and a half, that is also showing up with your kids, your spouse, with your friends, all these other aspects of your life. And those things come up because all of a sudden I'll hear, well, I want to put 2 hours aside for making phone calls to reach out to my clients, but because my children are at home with me, they keep knocking on the door, and I can't get that done. Well, that's a boundary issue. That's a boundary issue to be able to have those conversations with people who are in your home to say, this is my time to do my business. This is serious. Do not knock on my door, and to be able to have them honor that. So that shows up then in business, too. You can't separate them, but absolutely, it comes up, and we're really dealing with the whole person. But for them, they're seeing the issue, the challenge, as with money, but then it opens up the other door. So for other people, it might be my issue and challenges with my kids, but then it opens up other doors. So it's just, where's the entryway for them? That's basically it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what I'm trying to do is just, you know, help people work through that fear issue of confining themselves to a niche, because my belief is that that's the only way that I've seen the most successful people become so successful, is because they have identified themselves as this is the go-to person for whatever it might be. And it doesn't just have to be related to coaching. I mean, I work with other, all different kinds of health practitioners. I work with naturopaths who are afraid to, you know, create a specific niche or, you know, any kind of, really any kind of business, actually. But if you look at the most successful businesses, what they have done is they have narrowed in on a very unique, specific target market or type of client or customer. And by doing that, that's what everyone thinks of when they think of, oh, I need help with X, whatever it might be. So they think of that person. But that doesn't mean that they're not, other people are not going to be drawn to you. And also, even the people that come initially for that one purpose, like you said, are, you're not going to be only doing money coaching with them.
Right, right, yeah. I always think of it, you know, that was a very big deal for me too, because I wanted to help everybody. I thought, what? No, I'm going to help every woman. I'm going to help every, you know, I'm going to help everyone. But the interesting thing is, it's the clearer you become on exactly what is the problem that you are an expert at solving, the easier it is for people to say, that person can help me with that problem. I know they can. And it's almost like going to a doctor. If your heart is hurting, you don't want to hear someone say, oh, yeah, I can fix your feet, I can fix your heart, I can fix your head. You just want someone who's going to concentrate on your heart, who you know that is all they are concentrating on. They're going to know, they're going to have spent a lot of time on that one particular thing, and you trust them with that because that's the one thing that they're really good at. So I always think of it, if you're going to go to a doctor for something very specific that you are ailing with and it is critical, are you going to go to a general doctor or are you going to find the best for your heart, for your breast, whatever it is? And
right.
That's the way we want to approach coaching. If someone is real, because really, like we said before, people aren't walking around saying, I need to heal. There has to be such a big pain in their life for them to put out some money to say, I'm going to spend time in fixing this. And that pain is going to be so real, they're going to look for who is going to take care of that specific pain. And if you're general and they can't identify with you, they're not going to go to you.
Yeah, that's a great analogy too. I think of it like... If you're going to the ER for a heart attack, you're hoping that the specialist on staff at that time is the cardiologist and not like
yes.
some other random rotation. You know, they all do their rotations through ER. You're like, oh God. Exactly.
Very good. I love that analogy.
Yep. Exactly. So tell us a little bit about. You know, how would the experience be with someone who would come to you for coaching? What kinds of things do you do, and how do you help people?
Yes. You know, money is a very difficult subject because it is so personal. People will talk about their sex life a lot easier to you
yep.
than about their money.
I know. It's so true.
And because I really believe that society, we have built so much hype
value.
Around what,
yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
If you are making X amount of dollars, that means you are valued in the world. And we have allocated resources to what we value in the world. We can say we value teachers, but are we allocating resources to really show that that's what we value? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
we value athletes and celebrities.
Exactly. So wherever we put our money, we have seen that equates value in our life. We value health food. We can say, oh my gosh, I value health food, but I can't afford it, but I'll go buy a $500 handbag. You know.
Yeah, right.
Where we allocate
our resources. You can't eat
that. Right, we can't eat that. But where we allocate our resources tells us where we value. So this becomes a very touchy subject for us because money, when we open up that Pandora's box, it reveals our values and reveals who we are and how we're manifesting ourselves in the world. So my job is not only with my money, this is how I've been throughout, I think since I was five. I love making people feel safe. And I love to see them flourish so that they can be their best selves. And so my job in my coaching is to help people really feel safe and not judged, whether speaking or whatever. They need to come into that space. So my job is to create that space, because this is such a sensitive subject. And then for them to know it is okay, it's just numbers. It's just money, and this does not define who you are. This is just one aspect of your life, and you have control over it. All you have to do is approach it with your strengths. We always look at money as I'm good with money or I'm bad with money. I can see it as I start talking. I can see it on people's faces.
Right.
And it's always equated how much do I have in my savings as opposed to how much I'm spending. That's all very black and white. We're not black and white people. We're very complicated people. And I really approach it that you are created noble. And my work is approached with you do have strengths around how you deal with money. It's almost like the Myers-Briggs test for personality. We all have incredible gifts, but we also have little blind spots that those gifts can cause us, and we need to keep those in balance. It's the same with money. So I approach it with that, and they can start breathing, saying, oh, I do have some strengths. I just need to create that balance. So my job is to really have them see their strengths, and then for them to guide me to say, this is where I'm ready to really commit to making some changes. And we do that through, okay, great. You see where the blind spot is. You see where we need to start hammering away, and we're going to do it with your strengths. Because if we're doing it with your lack, that doesn't help you. That doesn't help your psyche at all. There's so much positive psychology out there, so much research from University of Pennsylvania and from Stanford that says when we approach things from coming from our strengths, we actually make better decisions in our life. So that's how I approach it, and that's the space that they come into.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think, like you said, it's a very personal, touchy subject. However, I think that it's probably way more, magnified and at a more extreme level in this country than many other countries, unfortunately. The whole thing, it's just the whole, I have to keep up with my neighbor, the whole status thing. And I think a lot of people just, they have this idea in their head that they need to make X amount of dollars, but they really don't know why.
Right.
And, it's like I've always looked at it as, okay, well, try to figure out what you want to do with this money, because just having that number is not going to motivate you over the long run to do the things that you need to do. You should look at it more in terms of, well, what do I really need to support the lifestyle I want to live?
Yeah.
And often I find that it's much less than what you think it needs to be.
Yes. You said it beautifully, perfectly. It really is. It's really identifying what is your value and why do you value that and why do you need that. And I think when you keep asking why, and how do you see yourself, because we really identify with our identity. This is how if I make a certain amount of money, this is who I see myself as. But when we can tear away those veils, really those veils that our society tells us that we need to have, and you can really get down to this is why I want to have this, this is what the value is, there's a lot of pressure that comes off of you from that. And then you can, like you said, you realize, oh my gosh, I really don't need as much, and it's okay, because that doesn't identify my value. My value is identified with how I'm living my life.
Right. Yeah. I also think a lot of people in this country are caught up with needing to acquire material things.
Yes.
I've got to get a bigger house, a nicer car, better clothes, the $500 purse.
Yes.
And I wish that people were more interested, or I guess took the time to think about, instead of acquiring all these material things, using their money for experiences.
Mm.
You know, like I've read a couple of articles recently on these, a couple of retirees who basically have, you know, sold almost everything that they have, and they're traveling around the world, staying in Airbnb, and now there's elder luxury hostels and things like that and whatnot. So, and it's like, wow, what an amazing experience those people are having, because, you know, they've gotten to a certain point in their life where they're able to retire, and instead of having to continue to fund the huge house that they had or the cars or whatever, they've made this decision that they want to invest in experiences.
Yes, yes. You bring up a good point of being mindful, and I think that's the crux of what you're talking about, is really not just blindly accepting that I need to be in a big home, I need that $500 purse, because society and advertisements telling us. And if we are not diligently mindful, and I really think on a daily basis, because our pocketbooks comes out every day, you know?
Yep.
And if we're not diligent about why am I buying this? What are my values? That money can just go out the door, and all of a sudden you're like, how did I end up where I am? Whether you don't have as much as you want, or you have too much of things that you don't really want. And I think it's just really developing that mindful attitude of, do I really need this? And all of our needs are different. We can't say, I can't tell Diane that you need this. You could definitely say, I do need to be in this bigger home. And that's between you and your, you know, you and who you keep yourself accountable to. And we can't tell each other what we need, but society has been telling us what we need. And we need to be really more conscious of, this is what I need for my life, this is what I want, and where do I create that balance so that we are we're going through life mindfully.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're right, we are bombarded with advertisements for God knows what every day. Seriously,
mm-hmm.
Just open your email inbox, and I'm sure that you've probably got an email from a restaurant, a hotel,
yeah,
some travel thing, you know, some product or whatnot, and then
yeah,
they have figured out a way to stalk you on Facebook and other websites that you're on. And
absolutely, and like you were talking about, I mean, the image came to my mind. They're constantly showing us what happiness looks like. Well,
mm-hmm.
We have to decide for ourselves, but we have to be mindful of that. What does happiness look like for us? And for that retiree, happiness looks like not keeping all that stuff and showing their status, but letting it go and going for experiences. So they were very thoughtful in how do I want to lead my life? How do I? And it takes a lot of discipline to not fall for what other people are telling us happiness is.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Not just the advertisements, but our family and our friends
our family,
and
yes,
you know, work colleagues and
absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
You're going to do what? You know, you're going to give up all the security and do what?
Yeah, yeah. I have a great example of that, actually. My boyfriend had left his career in IT of 25 years last
mm-hmm.
April, May, June, something like that. And basically, he was, you know, took a sabbatical, and he sold his house, put everything in storage, and the two of us went cross country to gather information and to write a book on eco-friendly lodging and farm-to-table restaurants. And I can tell you that his family and work colleagues and whatever thought he had absolutely lost his mind. But he was like, you know what? I've done that. I don't want this big house anymore, and I am tired of the corporate crap that I have to deal with every day, and this is what I want to do. So,
yeah.
But it
yeah.
takes a lot of courage. It definitely does.
It does. It takes a lot of courage to, for both sides, you know, to say, I want to give that up and I want to do this, or to also say, I want that and how can I, you know, it takes a lot of courage just to know what you want and why you want it. and to be able to manifest that. And I'm saying, you know, to be moral also about that, but it takes courage to do that.
Right, exactly, exactly. So, is there anything else that you wanted to share with us about your practice? You know, what is your typical client that you're looking for and how people can find out more about you?
Right. Well, they can go on my website at charpucoaching.com, and that gives a lot of information on how to get a hold of me and what kind of work I do.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, it just cut out for a second.
Oh, okay. Okay, so basically they can get a hold of me by going on my website, charapucoaching.com. That gives a lot of information about, you know, what I believe, what kind of services I do, and how they can get in touch with me. And I think what I'd like to leave people with is to really know that we all have a money personality. We all approach money in a very unique way, and it does determine the kind of decisions that we make. And just really be mindful of that. Just like your own personality, whether you get energy from being around a lot of people or energy being in a quiet room by yourself, that's knowledge about yourself that you can use to make decisions that are going to be better for yourself. And it's the same way with how you approach money and what excites you, is that we all have those tendencies. And the more you're aware of it, the better decisions you can make for yourself that align with your values and your goals in life. That's the main thing.
Yeah, that is great. And obviously, you do one-on-one coaching. Do you do any kind of group coaching or any online programs or anything like that?
Right now, I'm not doing any online programs, but more than likely in the future, I will. But I do a lot of one-on-ones, and I do group programs, speaking engagements, and I even started working with some organizations and offering my programs to them individually and also in groups. So it's a bit of a combination of things.
Good, good. And just so people can find you, the website is spelled CHARETOO coaching.com. Is that correct?
Correct. Thank you.
Okay, great, great. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for the call. This has been wildly informative and very interesting, and I'm sure it's provoked a lot of thought for people.
Thank you.
Not only money, but a number of things, for sure. Values and purpose and all that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said before, your chapter was excellent, and I'm sure that people will be, you know, going to your website and getting more information on you, for sure. And we're excited for the book to come out in another month or so.
Well, thank you so much. I've loved the process of this whole writing with you, and you've just made it very easy to get into writing. I'm not a writer, so you made it very easy for me to fall into doing this, and I really appreciate it. And I loved your questions. Thank you again, Diane.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome, and thank you for the kind words. I would never have known that you're not a writer, because I think your chapter is excellent. But thank you for that. I'm glad that it's been an easy process, because coordinating 13 people sometimes is not easy.
No, that was easy for me.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, thanks again, and you have a great day today.
Thank you, Diane. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.